everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to episode number 78. I hope you're all well. In today's episode, I've decided to do another 5-minute English episode, and this time about elections. Before we get to the topic, I'd like to give you a few updates on my life and about the site. Firstly, everything is going well with Clara. You might hear her in the background as I'm recording this. The only challenge is that she's awake when I want her to be asleep, and asleep when I want her to be awake. She's a nocturnal baby, so her awake hours are equivalent to that of a bat or maybe an owl. Nighttime is when she wants to eat, and unfortunately, her eating schedule involves me and my breasts because she nurses. Anyway, she's what we call a night owl. A person who is alert and ready for action at nighttime or in the wee hours of the morning. I try not to complain about how this affects me, but I'm not gonna lie, it gets hard to function. A few days ago, I took a shower and forgot to wash the shampoo out of my hair. Afterwards, I went to my mom's house, and as I was sitting there, I realized that the whole top section of my head was crunchy. It's kind of funny. My mom thought it was hilarious. It just required an extra shower, which is a lot to ask for with a baby. I also think it's interesting that a lot of families post such nice pictures on Instagram, especially with new babies, with little cute newborns looking all clean and proper, and the parents looking all nice and orderly. But I have to admit, it's not all butterflies and daisies. It's not all perfect. The other day, I was actually pumping at my desk, and I was eating a granola bar, one that had raisins and, you know, oats and a bunch of stuff inside of it. And next to my computer, I had left Clara's belly button. And as you probably know, a belly button is also known as a navel. It's that area at the center of the body where the umbilical cord originally connects you to your mother. So it connects you to your mother's placenta before you are born. After about 2 weeks, what's left over of the umbilical cord falls off. It's sort of like this crusty belly button, and it looks a little bit like a raisin. And so while I was eating this granola bar, I actually almost ate her belly button, which is the most disturbing thing that definitely happened this week. In any case, it's been impossible to think straight, which brings me to a mistake that I made in last week's podcast episode. While telling the story about Karen's birth, my hypothetical character, I mentioned that after the baby was placed on Karen's chest, quote, "The doctor helps birth the placenta. Karen's partner cuts the umbilical cord, and an episiotomy is done since there was tearing down south." Now, an episiotomy is an incision that a doctor makes in a woman's vagina, right? And this is medical, so I'm not going to excuse my language. In any case, to increase the space for the baby to come out, it is done before the baby is born. What I should have said here is that Karen got stitches because an episiotomy was done. Stitches require using a needle and thread, and you sew in order to make stitches. So each individual stitch you can see. Anyway, I'm sure that probably caused some confusion among the listeners that understood already what an episiotomy is. In any case, the correct way to read that statement would have been, "She got stitches because an episiotomy was done." I hope that clarifies that. Today we'll be talking about elections, and in particular, the general elections, which take place every 4 years on the first Tuesday after November 1st. This year, the general elections fall on November 3rd. Now, I won't be talking in depth about presidential candidates here. If you're even slightly interested in U.S. politics, you're probably aware that Donald Trump is running for a second term as president. He's a member of the Republican Party, and Joe Biden is a candidate for the Democratic Party. Now, what I want to focus on is the election process. I want to tell you how elections work and talk all about voting. So throughout the episode, I'll introduce vocabulary, phrasal verbs, and collocations used when talking about elections so that you feel fluent when discussing this topic with native speakers. As usual, this is a topic-specific episode, like all 5-minute English episodes, so it is more challenging than most other episode types. If you would like to gain access to the definitions of challenging vocabulary and phrases, get exercises, quizzes, and more, be sure to sign up to premium content in the classroom at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. So, let's begin. Every 4 years, on the first Tuesday after November 1st, the general elections take place in the U.S. This is the one time every 4 years that we vote for the President of the United States. In order to vote in an election, you need to be at least 18 years old, a citizen of the United States, and registered in the state where you live. It is not a requirement to vote in the U.S. It's considered a privilege. The only individuals who are ineligible to cast a vote are those in state or federal prison or those who have been labeled as mentally unstable by a court. Universal suffrage was not always considered a constitutional right, though. It wasn't until 1870 that African American men were able to vote in the U.S., and in 1920 for all women. Still, as of 2016, voter turnout was just 58.1% of the eligible voter population. The age group with the least participation in elections has always been 18 to 29-year-olds. The most politically active are over 65. Today, casting a vote is quite simple, actually. One can choose to vote by mail on what's called an absentee ballot, or in person at a polling station. Cities have various polling stations, or polls, which are improvisational voting centers in schools, libraries, and other public places. At the polls, volunteers called poll workers hand out ballots that the voter will then fill out and submit. Although the two major parties in the U.S. are the Republicans and the Democrats, they're not the only ones who run for office. On ballots across the country, you'll see candidates for independent or third parties, such as the Libertarian and Green parties, and even in 2020, the Birthday Party, with Kanye West running for president. His name will appear on the ballots in 9 of the 50 states. Other than the presidential tickets, most states use November's general election to find the public's opinion on props, or propositions, which are initiatives or referendums to alter or introduce local, state, and federal laws. An initiative is often a new idea that appears on the ballot because a petition received enough signatures by registered voters. A referendum, on the other hand, is a proposal to change laws already in existence. Some props can even change the Constitution. You might be wondering, well, when does the election process actually begin? It starts out in early January and February of an election year. That's when primary elections or caucuses are held in each state. The goal of these two activities is for the two main political parties to choose their official candidate from a group of nominees. At that time, many Americans follow the Iowa and New Hampshire caucuses, which are controversial in nature, since the winners there often get the right media attention and momentum to become the official party candidate. Whoever it is announced at a gathering called the National Convention. The candidate, once chosen, will choose their running mate. In other words, the person who will serve as vice president if they are elected. They'll then set out on a cross-country campaign to talk to the public, rally support, and collect donations. After all, running for president can cost exorbitant amounts of money. In 2016, $982 million was raised collectively by Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. After the long campaigning process, it's voting time. It may be a surprise to learn that in the U.S., voters don't directly vote for the president, although they appear on the ballots. We vote for electors, who are part of a system called the Electoral College. If you know how the U.S. government works, this should be fairly simple to understand. Each state is awarded with the same number of electors as the combined number of senators and representatives in the House. Every state has two senators, and the number of representatives is based on the state's population. For example, California, which is the most populous state, has 53 representatives and two senators. 53 plus 2 is 55. California gets 55 votes for president. Whichever candidate receives the most votes in California will receive all 55 votes in their favor. In total, there are 538 electors and, in effect, 538 votes. That means 270 votes wins. If you watch on TV on an election day, you will see a diagram of the U.S. with the states outlined. When a candidate wins in a state, the state will be colored blue for Democrat and red for Republican. There are also swing states. In these states, it's hard to predict who they will vote for. When watching the election results, a lot of people pay close attention to the results of the swing states. On December 14th, the electors vote based on their state's choices, and once the votes are tallied, the winner is announced. On January 20th, after the election year, Inauguration Day takes place in the country's capital, Washington, D.C. At the event, the new or re-elected president is sworn into office. After taking office, he or she will give an inaugural address to the country. This speech is watched live by millions of Americans. Anyone who was born in the U.S. has been a resident for 14 years and is over 35 years old is eligible to run for president. He or she can be in office for a total of 2 terms or 8 years. After the first term or 4 years, the incumbent president can run for re-election. In the past 3 decades, incumbent presidents who ran for re-election won. In the few times that presidents weren't re-elected, it was because they did something that negatively affected their approval ratings. In the past 100 years, this was the case with only 5 presidents: George H.W. Bush, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, Herbert Hoover, and William Taft. That's it for this 5-minute section of the episode. Now, speaking from my own experience, I've always felt pressure to vote. Apart from famous people and influencers trying to inspire the public and myself to vote via social media, volunteers can be seen around town to help people register to vote before the election day approaches. I remember when I was in college, there was actually a competition between universities to see who could register more voters. My university won. And as a prize, the entire school got a free concert by Ludacris, CeeLo Green, and other musicians that were popular in 2008. That was the year that Obama was first elected as president. Also, what's interesting is that presidential candidates regularly visit universities. This might be actually because of the lower rate of participation among younger eligible voters. While in college, I remember Hillary Clinton coming to visit during her campaign. The gym filled up with an audience who asked her questions about her goals. It was really cool to see a presidential candidate up close and personal. Ralph Nader, who ran for president 4 times, also came to my school, and he made himself available to chat one-on-one with students, including myself, which is pretty cool. Such personal encounters with them definitely make you want to vote. It makes the whole election process seem so much more real. Anyway, I know many of you are unable to vote in the United States because you are not yet citizens. If you are a citizen and not sure how to register to vote, visit the links that I posted on the episode webpage. So get ready for Election Day. It's coming up. It's just around the corner on November 3rd. Hope you enjoyed that episode, and until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.